And then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly. They said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, as I said, he had been on one side, teaching, healing, delivering people, working signs and wonders and miracles literally all day. There was a great multitude gathered, and he ministered to every one of them. Nobody got turned away. He just went to the point of utter exhaustion. He was spent. And as evening came, he said, "Let's go over to the other side," to cross the Sea of Galilee. That's where they were, at the Sea of Galilee. He says, "Let's go over to the other side." So they get in this boat. They're halfway across the water. And all of a sudden, this windstorm comes up. Now, the word for windstorm here literally means a cyclone. Or a, what was the other word? A cyclone is also used for whirlwind. The same word used in Ezekiel for a whirlwind. So you can imagine maybe a small-scale hurricane or even a tornado. Maybe a hurricane-style tropical storm or something that's spawning tornadoes where funnels are breaking out. This was bad stuff. They were in a bad way. Jesus didn't wake up and say, "Oh, it really isn't anything." They were in trouble. The boat was getting beat to shreds. The waves were crashing against it. The wind was howling, and the boat was so beat by the water, the waves just crashing over the edges, that it was beginning to fill with water. It was on its way to go down. They were literally about to die. Because if the boat had gone down in that storm and they were just left at the mercy of the storm, I mean, it would have been bad. They'd have all drowned. This was a bad situation. And I'm actually kind of sympathetic to them. You know, we can sit here on Sunday morning comfortable in our chairs, you know, a little bit of mugginess. Oh, it's a little sticky in here. But you can imagine what it was like for them. You know, the floor isn't heaving back and forth like some kind of massive earthquake this morning, thank God. But for them, you know, it was hard to tell what was up or down because the boat was being tossed to and fro like a toothpick. They were being shaken all over the place. Water was filling into the thing, you know. I mean, they were being sprayed with the waves. You know, the water was crashing over and they thought, "Oh my gosh, we're all going to drown." It was filling up the boat. The waves were shaking them all over. Oh, sorry. Oh, I am so sorry, bro. But you get the picture. Their beards were saturated, their long hair, they had them robes on, they were probably throwing their robes overboard. And it was a mess. And it's easy for us to sit here and say, "Wow, that must have been pretty bad." But for them, you know, they didn't know the end of the story. They didn't know how this thing was going to turn out. They didn't have the New Testament with them, so they didn't even know what Jesus was going to do. They didn't know that Jesus could do what he did. In fact, when he did it, they were terrified. They were terrified before he did it. And when the storm was raging, they were terrified. When he rebuked the storm, they got even more terrified. So they didn't know. Well, I'm wondering myself why they even bothered to wake him up. I don't know what they thought he was going to do. They didn't expect him to do that. And after all, Jesus was a carpenter. They were the fishermen. They were the experts. It's like, what do you want me to do? But they were dying. So, you know, you wonder what in the world they hope. But I tell you what, it's interesting what they said to him when they actually woke him up. And my heart can relate to this. They said, "Lord, teacher, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that we're perishing?" I would submit to you that that's so oftentimes where when storms bust out in our life and everything looks like it's heading south and everything looks like it is a disaster and there is no hope in sight, and we frankly don't know what to do because everything has been blocked and we are left at, seemingly at the mercy of the storm, I would submit to you that one of the first things that comes into our heart, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? God, if you really care, why is this happening? If I really matter to you, then why is this all falling around? Why is my life literally crumbling around me? If you really care, why is this person doing this thing? If you really care, how come this didn't work and that didn't work and everything I've tried has come up short? If you really care, why am I about to perish? Why are my finances about to completely implode? Why is my relationship completely fragmented and shattered in a model of dysfunction? If you really care, why is this or why is that? And our heart begins to question not whether God could do it. We know God is God. He could do anything. But when He's not doing anything, we wonder, Lord, do you care? Why don't you care that we're perishing? Are you really there? So hold that thought. Hold that thought. I know I should probably give you the answer to that right now, but hold that thought, because that's where they were. They were about to die. I'm not going to diminish this at all. They were in bad shape, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Lord, don't you care? Now, as you're holding that thought, as I said, this passage has layers of truth. We're just going to begin to peel back some of the layers in this thing. You know, ogres have layers, onions have layers, parfait has layers. We're going to peel back some of the layers and get to the truth in this thing and see what God has in store for us. On one level, if you just look at this on the surface, and I've seen a lot of commentators that really kind of imply this, as you're looking at this, one thing that people say, well, you know, when you have this, this is a proof text for the divinity of Christ. This passage teaches us that Jesus was in fact God. Well, not really. I mean, Jesus was, in fact, fully God and fully man. Yes, that's true. The Bible teaches that Christ was divine. But there's a problem with saying that, and that is this. All of the miracles that Jesus did, He did not perform as God. He performed as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, Scripture teaches us that Jesus is God incarnate. He is the Logos. He is the revelation of God in the flesh, the incarnation. He is the very image of the living God. If you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. But what Jesus did here, He did as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He did just as Mark or as Chris or as Ian could do, or as Angie or Karen or Missy could do, filled with the Holy Spirit. All of the miracles that Jesus did, when He healed the sick, when He commanded blind eyes to be opened and people regained their sight, when He raised the dead, when He cast out demonic spirits out of people, when He made lame people able to walk and flesh and muscle would suddenly grow on their bones. All of these things He did as a model for us to follow. He did as a man, not as God, but as a man filled with the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Holy Spirit. He said in John 14:12, He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, do you guys believe in Him? Anybody believe in Him?
Yes.
Okay, so He's talking to us.